Happy Independence Day, everybody. And, well, that was yesterday. Pokemon Monday is here. Yay.
Woo! Huzzah.
Yeah. This week's episode has me, Henry Gilbert.
Myself, Michael Grimm.
And me, Carolyn Goodmanson. And we're actually, well, let's be honest here. We're actually recording on Friday since the office is closed on Monday.
That's right.
So I think today we're just going to, well, there's really no plan for today. So who knows what might pop up in natural conversation. But since you know the news won't be super fresh, I think we'll just, maybe it's a good day to talk about our Pokemon memories.
To reminisce.
Reminisce.
Yeah, sure.
So,
Well, there was teeny tiny bit of news this week, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the anime.
Yeah. Best wishes.
Best wishes with an exclamation point.
I know a lot of people don't like that title, but I think it's really cute.
It's got something to do with Jirachi.
Oh, does it have something to do with Jirachi?
I don't know. I hear wish and I think Jirachi.
I thought for some reason I assumed that it had to do with the news that Brock and Dawn weren't going to be on it anymore.
Oh,
that
so
they're like
saying goodbye.
Saying, yeah.
Brock has stuck around a long time, I gotta say.
Yeah. Oh, I love Brock, though.
He is pretty great.
Yeah.
I still have that JPEG of him with, like, his eyes open on my computer, where he's just, there's that one episode where it's like he basically just opens his eyes and he has these huge eyes in the middle of his face. It's really creepy.
Wow. I should look at that.
He's like the quintessential lovable perv.
Yeah.
Yeah. They toned that. I think I saw a more recent episode and I thought they toned it down a little. I don't think
that's too bad.
I just loved, that was in the first season, which was the only season I really watched, was not only that he hit on all the women, but all the twins that worked at every Pokemon Center in the world, and they're like, they all look the same. He's like, oh no, they don't. This one, and he talks about all the tiny ways in which they're different.
And also just his fascination with Pokemon breeding is kind of uncomfortable at times.
Yeah. Like, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
It's funny because he's, I don't know, it's like his character design doesn't make him look like that. But like after 10 seconds of like watching him talk and do what he does, you're like, oh yeah, that's what he is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But yeah, I mean, I haven't. Oh, did you? Oh, that was the other thing. Did you guys see the silhouette of the new character that they showed?
Oh, no.
It was weird. Like, I guess there's like a promo that shows the silhouette of, I guess it's Ash, and then the new character, the new girl that's like replacing Dawn.
Nice.
But like when I first saw her silhouette, like when it first slid into the frame and like the teaser trailer, I totally thought it was a Pokemon. Like her hair is like totally crazy and she's like doing a pose, and I don't know, she looked like I thought it was like Zoroark or something for a second. It was like crazy because he's got that hair.
He's been with Dawn for so long to leave her behind. Yeah.
I don't know that Dawn was really, I mean, I haven't kept up with the cartoon that much, but it seems like Dawn really wasn't that well loved.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's always walking around with her Piplup.
Piplup.
Yeah, I have absolutely no knowledge of Dawn or any of her adventures.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying they got rid of Misty because I thought that was what they were going for. Mm. That was the two of that, like Ash and Misty, were the official couple of the show.
But yeah, her Pokemon were boring, though.
She had Psyduck. That was funny.
I guess that's true. Yeah, Psyduck. Well, yeah, got to hand it to Psyduck.
But yeah, but that was the same deal with her and Dawn, that both of them just had, like, Misty had Togepi, and then Dawn had Piplup, and they both would just hold them close to their chests all the time. And
yeah.
Not really seem that adventurous, you know?
That's true. Yeah. Speaking of adventure, do you guys want to talk a little bit about how you personally, like, your methods for training your Pokemon?
Yeah, sure.
Like, yeah, I was thinking about this the other day, and, like, there's so many, like, I don't know how to describe it, but there's so many, like, facts and stuff about, like, in-game training, but then everybody has their own routine, like, how they decide which Pokemon to train, and then what their organization is like when they're like training Pokemon, like stuff that you do like outside the game. Like, do you keep notes in a notebook or whatever? Do you guys do that?
I don't really keep notes. I mean, I kind of have like a system I use in my head, but it's not like fancy or anything. It's very utilitarian. It's just kind of like I think in my head, like what I want to do, you know. It's, I guess it's weird because it depends on whether I'm actually beating the game or if I'm trying to prepare a team to play against other people with. Because, you know, if it's a team I'm preparing to play against, you know, other people, it's like I'm going to have just, you know, my kind of grunt Pokemon to steamroll through, you know, areas and just have the level one, like, Wobbuffet or whatever, because Wobbuffet's great when you're playing against other people, but he's terrible when you're playing him in the game against, you know, the computer, just because it's not worth it. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess that's sort of just my general thing, is I just kind of steamroll through with a couple, like, high levels, like, three high levels and then three lower levels that I'm training.
Yeah. Well, how do you pick which Pokemon to keep in your party? Like, I know in the game there's different reasons, like, you need your HM Pokemon and all that. But, like, I guess when you're playing against other people, how do you pick which Pokemon are in your party?
Against other people?
Yeah, or I guess in general, like, how do you pick which Pokemon you want to spend your time training and stuff?
Well, I guess, I mean, the ones I pick, it's just usually the ones I like. And I kind of like, you know, the weirder ones, I guess. I don't know, and that's sort of my number one consideration, is just I just sort of pick the ones I like, and as long as their stats aren't awful, like, you know, Love Disc is funny, but I'm obviously never going to train a Love Disc,
because
I'm
not
going to go anywhere with that.
Well, the way I do it is, I pretty rarely actually get in competitive battles, but one reason I love Pokemon is because I love old school RPGs, and so that's kind of how I play Pokemon, is I just grind a whole bunch. And that's what I've been doing. Right now I've been trying to evolve every Pokemon I have that only does it through leveling. But it's starting to get a little boring, because the best way to do that is to just fight the Elite Four over and over again. But it's getting a little old now. But I guess... Of my high-level guys that I have now, like, of my team, they're usually guys I got early on and then just grew really attached to. Like, I always have Ticeplosion, because I picked him to start with. And then on top of that, I have Togekiss.
Togekiss is awesome.
Yeah, I love Togekiss. I like that he grew into a great character anyway, or very useful, but I had worked on him to... You know, he was another one you get at the very start. And then also I caught a Mareep pretty early, and so that's why I still have Ampharos on my team. And so it's a lot of stuff like that. Though I also, I mostly just pick, there's like a fifth and sixth spot that I kind of trade out between, like, one of four. But really it's just, it's ones I grow attached to, and if they have a strong enough third evolution, that I would keep in there, because I really like Donphan, but he just wasn't good enough as the, I don't know. That's mainly how I did it. And that's how I've been playing. That's how I've been playing Pokemon for the last 2 months, when I do play it every 20 minutes on the BART and all that, is to just work on leveling them up. I have more money than I could ever spend in that game now, but.
Awesome. I love it. Well, once you start doing extracurricular things like training for shinies and stuff, you'll start burning through money, like, really fast.
Yeah, maybe I should start the, I don't know, maybe I should look into the EV training. That I never did
Let's talk about
the
EV
breeding
training.
And all that. It was all over my head.
So, yeah, I wanted to talk about EV training a little bit. I think most of our listeners probably are familiar with EV training, but I think... Am I the only one in the office that does it? Henry, I know Henry doesn't do it.
I tried it once. And I
oh, my gosh. Okay, you guys have to start EV training. No, seriously.
Well, that is why you kill. I think that was your killer edge in our office tournament.
Yeah, it was. And like, no, seriously. Everyone scoffed at me, like, keeping my little tallies on the papers. But EV training totally makes a huge difference. So, yeah. So when I train Pokemon, like, you guys, I just pick Pokemon I like usually for, like, my party. So I have this, like, kind of weird, really organized way that I keep track of all of my Pokemon training, where I keep, like, a notebook for my Pokemon training where I take notes on, like, how I want to train. Like, I'll pick one Pokemon to focus on. Like, say, the last two Pokemon I trained really well were Snorlax and Crobat. So I would write notes in my notebook, because, like, it's really hard to see the whole picture at once, like, when you're deciding, like, how you want your Pokemon to be trained. Like, everything affects everything else, like, what its nature is, you know, what its base stats are, and, you know, what you want the moveset to be, what other Pokemon you're considering using in your party. So I keep a notebook where I jot down my notes for like how I kind of want the Pokemon to be. And then I have index cards that I are like super, super neat when I finalize like different, like it has like what its final moveset, like the final details go on the index card. But yeah, so EV training. So do you guys know how EV training works, right?
Yeah, it depends on the ones you fight.
Okay, so yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I have to keep this huge binder with me when I'm training Pokemon. Which, by the way, I kind of had a question I was thinking about. This sounds unrelated, but it's totally related. I was thinking about getting an iPhone 4 because I'm eligible and I've never had an iPhone before and blah, blah, blah. And I was wondering if there was any good Pokemon apps for the iPhone, because I always have to keep a huge stack of like papers with me, and it's like unwieldy to like, you know, keep going on the computer when you're trying to train your Pokemon. And sometimes you don't have access to the computer because you're like, you know, on public transportation or whatever. So I was just wondering if there was any good like EV training app, or just any kind of apps for iPhone, because I would totally get one if I knew it had Pokemon stuff on it. But yeah, so I keep in my notebook, I just keep a physical tally of the EVs. So what it is, I'll explain EV really quick. I think most people know.
I should hope. Yeah.
Yeah. So every Pokemon you fight has an EV value associated. That was redundant. An effort value associated with it. So, like, for example, I don't have any of them memorized. Can you guys ever? I can never memorize. That's why I have to keep this huge sheet of like by alphabetical order of what EV points each Pokemon yields, because I can never remember. But like, for example, like, say, this is probably totally wrong, but say like Tentacruel yields like 2 in special defense or something like that.
I think that's.
Is that?
I think that's, yeah. It's him and Geo due to the ones I sort of have an idea of offhand. They're Geo or Graveler, because both of those guys give you 2 points. I think Geo Graveler's like defense or whatever.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Yeah, I think he's defense. I can never remember. So these EV points, for every 4 EV points, you get 1 extra stat point in for your Pokemon. So it really adds up over time. Like, I think the max that you want to do per stat is like 252. But basically, you just have to keep track. So every time you KO a Pokemon, and it happens when you KO the Pokemon, every time you KO, you get EV points. And it's not anywhere in the game. You just have to keep track of it yourself. That's why you have to keep a notebook and tally. I don't know if anyone else has fancier ways to do it. I think a notebook, call me whatever, old school. A notebook is the best way to do it.
Well, you have such nice notebooks, too.
I do. But that's the reason why I have nice notebooks, is because I use them a lot. So, but the one problem I have with EV training is that it gets kind of boring. Oh, that's the other thing, too, is that I always make sure to max out your EV training with Pokerus and the EV items to, like, really, it'll go a lot faster if you double up, because each one of those gives you a multiplier for your EV. Like, if you have Pokerus, you gain double EV points, which makes it go twice as fast. Yeah. So, also that's good if you're training, if you want to keep your Pokemon level low, but still have higher EVs. Like, for our office tournament, the level cap was like 30. And it was hard, unless you used all those extra things to help your EV training go faster, you couldn't finish EV training by the time you hit level 30. Unless you were like, it's pretty hard. But yeah, so what was I talking about? EV training notebook. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I believe you.
It's just too complicated for me.
It's not complicated, Henry.
I guess it's so big. I don't know. I have trouble enough memorizing things.
You don't have to memorize. I don't memorize anything. I just keep the papers with me all the time.
I don't think the idea of it's complicated. It's just, in my case, it's just I'm not willing to, like, bring the Pokemon back and, like, not finish the battle so I don't get the experience. Because I guess I'm always sort of just leveling up in general at the same time. Yeah. So I always just sort of feel like I don't want to take him out and bring this guy in and have him take a hit so that he can finish him off and get the KO. And I'm like, I just want to mash A and get through this dumb battle with this Graveler that I don't like.
But once you've finished EV training, you can just grind after that, because it maxes out at like 500 EV points or whatever. So I mean,
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's once you're done with that. I don't know. I used to be really good at memorizing like stats like that, though.
You don't have to memorize anything, though. You just keep the information. I don't have anything memorized. So I just keep the information with me. Oh, that was the other thing, too, I was going to mention. One problem I have with EV training, I don't know if this happens to anyone else or if I just have ADD or what, but like EV training, it does get boring and it's kind of tedious or whatever. So I'll try to do things like watch TV while I'm EV training. And I have this problem. Please, someone back me up on this. Where I forget whether I've written down the tally or not.
Yeah, well, I've done that with other things, too.
Yeah, so, and then it messes me up, and I can't, and you have to be really precise with EV training. Like, I want, like, if I'm even messed up a little, it could be the difference between, like, you know, the stats not being in the right place or not, so.
So does it count, do you have to KO them all, like, does that have to be your KO right before you level up, or just during your leveling process? You just have to KO one, and then it's...
Just anytime you KO a Pokemon, you get effort values, if you still have... If your effort values aren't... Yeah, exactly. So, it's totally worth it. I recommend... It's the easiest thing you could do to give yourself an edge in battling. Oh, that was the other thing I was going to mention to you. I wanted to get on a soapbox for a second.
Okay.
So, I'm totally not into super competitive battling.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect people who are, like, the whole Smogon community and all their, you know, battle sims and stuff. But to me, that's just not what Pokemon is about. And I just wanted to mention that anyone who says that you have to train a Pokemon a specific way, like, don't listen. Like, you can train your Pokemon however you want, like, and still have fun. Like, to me, one of the things, like, in my process of deciding how I'm going to train a Pokemon is I like to decide things myself. Like, if you just go on, like, Celebi or Smogon and see, like, the optimal way to train, you know, such and such a Pokemon, and then just copy it, to me, it doesn't feel like my Pokemon if I do that. How do you guys feel about that?
I agree. I think the Pokemon should grow with you, and it's all about picking out what moves you like instead of just reading what the perfect move set is for your character. Or also, if you just want to have one on your team that you just think is cute but isn't that strong, you shouldn't be punished for that or have people tell you shouldn't do
that. And I think you can still battle your friends like that as long as all of your friends are on the same page with it. Like I would love to have more office tournaments where we just, you know...
Yeah.
And there's a difference between not trying and then just being creative. Like, it's one thing to be like, oh, my Pokemon's not that strong, I don't care. And then another thing to be like, oh, like, to put a lot of careful consideration into how you train your Pokemon, but it's not necessarily the so-called, like, optimal Pokemon for, like, uber-competitive battling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the idea. I mean... I think there's, you know, you can also get the enjoyment out of just having your, like, one project Pokemon that you want to make really strong, you know, and you feel like, you know, it's not that he's just, like, you know, this big thing of numbers, you know, like an equation where he's just like, oh, I just, you know, picked all this stuff. But, you know, I do feel that there's that kind of thing where I always have a Pokemon party where it's like, this guy, he's got the right nature, I got everything I wanted for him, and I'm going to put the effort into him. But, you know, I don't see him just as, like, this, you know, automaton. It's kind of like, he's still a Pokemon. He's still a cool guy.
I still look at the Pokemon's numbers, though. Like, that's my other, like, my routine or whatever for training Pokemon is when I pick one I like, I generally look at its stats and try to work with its strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
So, and that goes into picking the nature and deciding the EVs. And
that's one thing I've always done in every Pokemon I've always played is that I get a Alakazam and I name him Mastermind. And I made sure ever since they put natures in the game that he was always optimal and he's always in my party.
Nice.
That's my guy.
Yeah. Our old intern, Andy McNider, almost stomped my party with his Alakazam. He just, like, swept, like, four of my Pokemon, like, right off the bat with an Alakazam.
He's so good.
Yeah, it was crazy.
How'd you counter that?
I don't even remember, but it was touch and go for a while. I was sweating.
Well, your Snorlax was a superstar that day.
Yeah, I think my Snorlax just waited him out because... the problem was he one-hit KO'd my... I was going out with my Crobat because my Crobat is, like, off-the-chain speed. And like, I think I swept a lot of people in that tournament with my Crobat because he had black sludge and he was recovering all crazy and just like, I was like just devastating people with that Crobat. But then, and then Andy comes in with his Alakazam, just totally one up me on speed, which I was not expecting.
Yeah.
And just destroyed like three of my Pokemon right off the bat. But I think with my Snorlax, I kind of just like wore him down. And I was kind of cheap because I had that Snorlax that knew rest and it was a sleep talker. And I had that Jirachi in my party that knew rest. So I was just like totally wearing him down.
Yeah, those endurance battles are pretty fun. That's what ended up in our last officer and happened to me too, is that it was just, I got put up against a Jirachi and my only one that had fire move died. So it was just, well, here's Sandstorm and here's my Alakazam and neither of us can do any damage to each other. And like, I was using Recover and he was using Rest. So it was just like the most boring battle ever.
Yeah, it took forever.
It went on and on. And it seemed like it was inevitable too, but it was just like, you know, I can't just throw in the towel. I got to go all the way.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, let's see. Do you want to talk about our Pokemon of the week?
Yeah.
So it's Poliwrath. And I don't think we had a Pokemon of the week last week because
there's too much news.
Yeah, there's too much news. But Brett brought in that really old issue of Time magazine. Yeah. I think it's from 1999. I'll post a picture of it on the Pokemon Monday page. It's this like really old Time magazine issue that has Pokemon on the cover, and for some reason they chose Poliwrath as the cover star.
Yeah,
for some odd reason.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason they chose Poliwrath, I don't know, I haven't read the whole article, but I'm just assuming, and just by skimming it, that it has a lot to do with like, oh, is Pokemon dangerous for your children? Is it addicting? And I think they chose Poliwrath because he had kind of that hypnotic tummy swirl.
It's like it's like, saying oh, like it's hypnotizing your kids.
Exactly. Yeah. And how like the gotta catch 'em all phrase is like unhealthy because it promotes like addiction and
the Japanese all this are
stuff.
Coming to get our children.
Exactly.
With their pocket monsters.
But one thing I wanted to mention about Poliwrath is, have you guys noticed? So Poliwrath is from a three-stage evolution family. Poliwag.
Poliwhirl.
Poliwhirl. Yeah. And Poliwrath from first gen.
From Poliwhirl to Poliwrath is probably the laziest, I think, evolution.
Yeah,
of any
okay.
Of the
so this is a three-stage evolution Pokemon that's based on a tadpole. And they never thought in the three... three evolutions that the final evolution would be like a frog. And they had to wait till second generation Gold and Silver to be like, oh yeah, don't
they turn
tadpoles
into
turn into frogs? Oh, we better make a fourth one. Like, and then that was Politoed. Like, so if you have a Poliwhirl, Waterstone evolves into Poliwrath and a King's Rock evolves it into a Politoed. But yeah, it's like, really? They made a three? Because, like, not many, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but not...
It's pretty low.
Not
I mean,
many have,
first, right?
Yeah, three-stage evolutions. And all three stages were tadpole Pokemon.
Yeah, with gloves.
I love his gloves. I love that he's super buff, and too. I like... Yeah. I forget what gym leader was, or maybe it's just somebody I... found along the way, but it was just a large guy, like a one of the flexing guys, and he brings out his Poliwrath with his big shoulders and mean eyes.
I never really dug him. Poliwrath was always just sort of like, I'm not a big water guy, to be honest. Like, I think water's probably my least favorite type, but I think when, especially because, you know, I was into Red and Blue way back in the day, but yeah, I just remember seeing him and I was always just like, he's just circle with some googly eyes and gloves.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
The other weird thing is that in the first generation, when you evolve Poliwhirl into Poliwrath, Poliwrath gets a dual type. He's water and fighting.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But then when they added Politoed as an afterthought in Gen 2, they just kept him as a plain water type. Like, they didn't give him a dual type. Yeah.
That's kind of lame. Yeah.
It's really lame. It's really weird.
Huh.
They should have made him. What should his second type have been when he's Politoed, water and...
I don't know.
That could have been cool.
I don't even know what Politoed looks like, to be honest. I wasn't aware that you could evolve Poliwrath. That's how little I care about Poliwrath.
Wow, yeah. I mean, it's weird because he doesn't even look like he's in the same evolution family because he's green.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know that until playing... He was such an afterthought to me until I played Heart Gold. Like, I didn't even realize he could be Politoed until I ran into a character with a Politoed who talked about it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Poliwrath if I had to have one of those two.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like Poliwrath. Yeah, I would choose Poliwrath, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, it's just so weird that that was like such an afterthought. And that was the other thing too, is that the only Pokemon besides Eevee that has four or more Pokemon in the evolutionary family?
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I can't think of it.
I mean, it's like they really made an exception. Like, did they really forget that tadpoles evolve into frogs? Or not evolve, but, you know, tadpoles become frogs? Did they?
Yeah, it really seems like a weird thing for them to forget, too. That maybe, I don't know, maybe they just didn't have a good frog design when they got to the end of making red and blue or red and green, whatever.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's in that it's funny too, because like the first 150 or so Hallowed, you know, and it's funny to think that, you know, he's super mediocre and he takes up three spots out of that 150.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and then the other thing I was going to mention, I haven't actually done this myself, but did you guys see, and I think this is really old news, but it, for some reason it just popped up on, I think PokeFacts Twittered it. So it reminded me that I hadn't done it yet, but that there's a bunch of secret PC wallpapers for your PC that you can unlock.
Really?
Yeah, on really? I think all of the 4th-gen games.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. So I'll put the instructions for that on the Pokemon Monday page, but I think it involves entering in some kind of secret phrases somewhere to yeah,
like the happy building,
exactly.
Like you pick two words kind of thing.
Yeah, right. Depending on what your trainer ID is, so you have to like enter your trainer ID into this thing and it'll tell you what your phrase is to get the secret wallpapers. So and they're pretty cool. Like I think the Heart Gold Soul Silver one has like the starters on it in the background.
That's cool.
So anything to jazz up your stupid PC.
Nothing more fun than entering your 14 or whatever character trainer ID into some sort of machine so it can tell you free wallpapers are available.
Yeah.
And then you look at your PC and look at all the photographs you've had taken of you during the game.
I've done that exactly one time.
I've done it like 3 times, but the thing with the photographs that brings me down is like, well, it's cute in a way, but it's like so zoomed in, like you really see how pixely they are.
I like that though.
I sort of do too, but it also takes me out of it a little. I was like, this shows this game is still kind of old.
I like that about Pokemon. I hope it never.
Though it also reminds me when, like, I have my, in a lot of the pictures, I have my A-team and then some shitty Pokemon that I'm just trying to level up to get it to evolve. And it's like, oh, here's all my awesome guys. And Duo, the two-headed thing.
Doduo.
Yeah, Doduo.
Doduo, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, Doduo. Yeah. I don't know. I guess he was all right. Doduo. Ooh, I don't want to spoil the potential Pokemon article that may be in the near future.
Oh, yeah. For some reason, I keep wanting to spoil that. We're posting a feature next week on that has, I'll just say, it has something to do with the history of Pokemon designs and how it's kind of weird when you start thinking about, like, how many different real-life, like, animals that Pokemon have been based off of and, like, which ones they've chosen to do over and over and like which ones they've never done and like I think we were saying like first gen has like 3 different ducks.
They
love ducks.
No, I think every single living bird on earth has been appropriated at this point.
Well, I think I think I can think of a few, but yeah, there's been a lot of ducks, a lot of bagworms, there's been 4 sea slugs.
Slugma or whatever.
Henry, can you name? Well, Slugma is just a snail.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Nah, I can't. I can't name any.
It's Shellos and Gastrodon.
Oh yeah.
And if you count, if you count east and west, that's 6. because the other 2 are Fionn and Manaphy are based off of the Cleone, which is like a sea angel or something. It's a type of small sea slug.
Hmm.
Weird.
So, yeah, people should check out Bulbapedia has a running series called On the Origin of Species.
It's very neat.
Pokemon. It's super interesting. Yeah, there's not that many articles in it, but it's a good read if you check it out. I really enjoyed recently reading the Puccina and Mightyena entries because it's more about hyenas in general, but hyenas are like totally misunderstood. People should check it out. The Mawile one was really cool too, how it's based on like some Japanese folklore of like creepy monsters.
The one you sent me too about Bronzong too was the same way, where it was it was based on like Japanese folklore, and it's like, that's the thing, is that, like, a lot of those like, you know, wacky random Pokemon that you have no frame of reference for, mm-hmm. like they usually are based on something that's, you know, pretty culturally Japanese, and you'd have no clue about what it was, like, especially in that case, because I guess Bronzong is like some old folktale about a bell and a coin, which is why his pre-evolution mm-hmm. is just like a little coin instead of anything having to do with the bell.
Oh, I thought
or a metal or something.
I thought it was based on like a bronze mirror or something.
Yeah, that's what it was. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a bronze mirror. Yeah, and then it's the bell. But yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing too that always blew my mind too is that Wobbuffet, who's like my favorite, is apparently based on a Japanese comedian from the late 70s and early
80s. Oh, really?
Who was really popular, and I guess he would make that face and sort of like hold his head, and that was sort of his thing. I can't remember the guy's name, but yeah, Wobbuffet is based on a Japanese comedian. So.
Wow. The things you learn. Things you learn on Pokemon Monday. Wow. But yeah, so look forward to that. Please look forward to that feature next week.
Yeah, it's going to be a good feature.
Yeah. So so I guess anything else anyone wants to talk about? Go ahead.
I was just thinking of what I think is the most patriotic Pokemon, the one that's red, white, and blue.
Oh, that's true.
I think it's Togekiss, because he is red, white, and blue. Mm. He has the blue. He's all white with red and blue spots on him. So, is there any other red, white, and blue one?
Nosepass and Probopass is kind of like blue and red, but I don't think we want to claim him.
Yeah, Probopass looks too much like Marx to be a patriot, American patriot.
Oh my gosh.
Also, yeah. Togekiss, you know, flies high like an eagle, too.
Right. Oh, that's true. All right, yeah, I would be happy with claiming Togekiss for our country.
Okay.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that it's 4th of July.
Yeah, woo.
Woo.
Yes. We'll be in the park. It's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss living in a state where you could just buy fireworks and just set them off.
I think you can in some counties. And if you go in Central California.
The thing is, all the fireworks that sell in California are all like really toned down. So even when you do find those stands, they're all like super wiener status. So it's like you don't get any like cool, you know, M80s or anything. It's just like, oh, look, little poppers and dazzlers. I'm looking for a Charizard kind of explosion here. That's my Pokemon. I'm bringing that back.
Oh, yeah. Did you send me that GIF of the Charizard card?
Yeah, the Charizard card. Yeah, there's this other thing, too, just on the trading Pokemon trading card game front. A friend sent me these videos of this lady on YouTube who just basically posts herself, like, opening booster packs of, like, Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
And I don't even think she plays. She's, like, a Norwegian lady, I guess, and they're really nice videos. I guess she's called, like, Unknown or something. But it's basically just her, like, she buys an entire box of booster packs, makes a YouTube video of her opening the cards and, like, showing them off. And she's like, ooh, a holographic Tyranitar.
Yeah, I watched the one where, I'll have to post a link to this on Pokemon Monday. Let me take a note. The one where she was opening that vending machine series from Japan. The peeling pleasure of peeling those cards off of the backing is just like, there's something about that I think most people like can appreciate. I guess that's why unboxing videos are so popular, but like just the like peeling action of like the way the card peels off from the backing is like so satisfying. I'm like so jealous. I totally want to.
They were so glossy and nice. It was just like this nice sort of like sheet that like she had, and like the cards were in the sheet, and you just sort of like peeled them off, and it made this very gratifying noise when you popped them out.
Yeah.
And the artwork was really cool on them too. That's the other thing I liked about those videos, is that I don't really play the card game at all, but the artwork on some of them is really cool, seeing like all these different artists and how they draw Pokemon. That's always been one of my favorite things I think about Pokemon now, is just the whole fan art aspect of it, because there's a lot of good fan artists out there for it. And
it's true.
Really inspires people.
Yeah. I've been wanting to get into the trading card game, but I'm scared. I wonder if anyone else in the office, like in the building, does play.
I'm bringing my old binder. We can have a nostalgia trip of my 7th grade drawings on the binder of me drawing the Pokemon logo.
Oh, that would be so cute. Bring it in.
I will. I'll dig it out of the trunk wherever it is.
I never really got into TGC so much.
Well, yeah, again, I did buy the card. I did buy a couple packs of the cards like when I was a kid, and then I had no friends who would play the card game with me. So it's like it's not fun if you don't have people to play with.
Yeah.
So. I remember like 7-8 years ago, like you would, on the weekends, I'd go to the mall sometimes, and at Books a Million, it was just overflowing with kids just just on the floor, opening up their binders and comparing notes and getting ready for a battle. Like it was,
I remember the comic book store I went to, like I ended up with a bunch of like Japanese cards because the guy was so sold out of Pokemon cards because they were so unavailable that he had just bought Japanese boxes, and the kids would buy the Japanese cards having absolutely no idea how to read them or do anything with them just because they wanted to buy Pokemon cards so bad.
Good memories, yeah. Well, should we sign off on this?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Seems about time.
Conversational, slightly, yes.
Yeah.
Apologies, I didn't prepare anything, but it's just the weirdness of having to record on a Friday instead of a Monday.
I just hope no big news happens on Pokemon Monday.
Yeah, well, if news breaks, we'll definitely cover it. Yeah.
We're going to cover it.
Right,
so,
so keep your eyes peeled on GamesRadar.com.
Yeah, and I think that maybe there will be some news this weekend, because at least I think we'll probably get some more info on those 8 Pokemon that were kind of just like unceremoniously shown in that video.
Yeah.
Korokoro will have something to say soon enough.
Death Coffin, come on.
I know. People are hating on that.
No way, man. Death Coffin awesome. Is top tier. Sorry.
Yeah.
I like that hole with the big pointy head, too. Well, this is stuff we talked about last week. So, well, we should just sign off, though.
All right. So, well, thanks for joining us on this kind of no news Pokemon Monday.
Reminiscing.
I hope everyone had fun.
Well, we will see you later then.
Yep. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.